Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You, Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, I am Rolene Marks, and I'm good now. I'm speaking to you.
There you go. And a bit of a breaking story, something that I never thought I would see, not in the next 10 years. Israel and the AU, what is the story?
Extraordinary, extraordinary news coming in today. Israel has been readmitted into the African Union. We were exited in 2002, but a great day, as our foreign minister is saying, for diplomacy between Israel and the African continent. Israel readmitted to the African Union. Now, albeit as a observer member, but it's really, really, it is incredible. The Organization of African Union, we were an observer member of that until it was dissolved and replaced by the African Union. And at the moment, we have diplomatic relations with 46 out of the 55 nations in the African Union. Sorry, frog in my throat, taking up space.
No, all good. You have a sip of water. I'll ask you the question. I mean, surely South Africa had absolutely nothing to do with that.
Well, we don't know the details, how this came about, who initiated it, are being kept very, very quiet. But we have to remember that Israel and South Africa do still have formal diplomatic relations. And we really hope that, you know, as the Abraham Accords and the Circle of Peace grow bigger, and as we have monumental occasions like we're having today. In fact, I'm going to quote to you from our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, who says, "This is a day of celebration for Israeli-Africa relations. The diplomatic achievement is the result of efforts by the foreign ministry, the African division, and Israeli embassies on the continent. This is a corrective step to the anomaly that has prevailed for almost two decades and is an important part of strengthening Israel's foreign relations fabric." Now, let's not forget that the foreign minister is headed off to Morocco, also an African state, also a member of the Abrahamic Accords Brotherhood, and he will be the first Israeli official to make this historic journey. So just want to say, Durka, are you listening? Because this is what is happening.
It's absolutely fascinating and really bodes well for future relationships with Africa. The Ben and Jerry's saga has not ended. I believe Ayelet Shaked has rushed down to the Negev.
She has rushed down to the Negev. What we are seeing now is a phenomenal show of solidarity for Ben and Jerry's Israel. That is the local manufacturer, because they stand to lose their license at the end of next year because of the statement put out by Ben and Jerry's, which operate independently of their holding company, Unilever. Unilever reiterating earlier today they are absolutely committed to staying in Israel. I'll quote their CEO, Alan Jope. He says that obviously it's a complex and sensitive matter that elicits very strong feelings, he says, but if there's one message I want to underscore in this call, this is his call to our Prime Minister, it's that Unilever remains fully committed to our business in Israel, and I'm sure they're going to be even more committed after this little piece of info, because Texas is set to become the first American state that will enact its anti-BDS laws. Now, what people need to understand is that a lot of these states have major pension investment in companies, one of them for Texas being a massive investment in Unilever. And Texas, the governor is has instructed his staff to determine whether or not Ben and Jerry's or Unilever have taken any action that would trigger his state's anti-boycott law. Now, Ben and Jerry's have done that. They have said that they will not sell to what they are calling the occupied Palestinian territories. Very intentional language that, and they're speaking about their partnership. We know their partnership is BDS. We know that there is a mega supporter of BDS that sits on their board, And if they contravene these laws, they will withdraw their investment into Unilever. So it's not necessarily just Ben and Jerry's who stand to see a financial drop, but it's Unilever as well. So it does not make smart business sense for Unilever to allow for this to happen, especially as they have reported a loss in profits over the last while. They are saying it's exchange rates, that it's also the global pandemic, that it's the increased rate of inflation. But I'm just saying, just putting it out there. Meanwhile, Israelis are buying up our Ben and Jerry's because we want to support our local manufacturer, because we don't want the many Israelis and Palestinians who work there to lose their jobs.
Will be fascinating to watch that play out. Now let's move to the issue of Biden delaying the opening of the Palestinian consulate. Why is he doing that?
Well, he's doing that now. Everybody, you know, people of course took to social media to panic, and people are panicking. Why is there a Palestinian consulate opening in Jerusalem? Everybody don't panic. What the Biden administration want to do is open or reopen the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem as a de facto mission to the Palestinians. I can't even read my own writing sometimes, Simon. Until they've decided to waiver this or delay this until our government passes a budget. Now, at the request of our Prime Minister's office and the Foreign Minister, they've been asked, please not to open this consulate. Let's first get this coalition working firmly together. Let's pass a budget and then let's talk. And Biden has agreed to do just that.
Okay, Rolene, and fascinating story because it has the chance of like revolutionizing this whole pandemic. Israel apparently testing an oral vaccine.
Well, isn't it fantastic? Israel is going to be the first country in the world to test an oral COVID-19 vaccine. So this is from Oramed Pharmaceuticals. Their CEO has been speaking to the media. He says they are going to start clinical trials of this oral vaccine at Sourasky Medical Center. This is in Tel Aviv. They've received approval. It's still waiting for approval from our health ministry. It's expected within the next couple of weeks, and they're going to start testing. So it could also be a game changer in the way that we vaccinate people against this COVID-19 virus. I think we want as many people to be able to fight off this virus. It has claimed so much from so many of us across the world.
Ro, we've got a couple of minutes left, so it seems to me that there's breaking news. I have the Times of Israel open in front of me now. Coronavirus cabinet approves the return of the green pass. For those of us who are not Israelis, what was the green pass that's coming back?
Well, this is not an unexpected development. It was debated earlier this week. The Green Pass is the passport that you get if you have received both of your vaccines. It allows you into certain places and into certain events. And it was waived for a while, but now it looks like that's going to be reinstituted. And we have breaking news. The former UN rights chief, Navi Pillay, who's originally from South Africa, she will lead a UN inquiry into systematic abuses in Israel and the Palestinian territories. This is a announcement from the UN that has just come through, and this is into Shomer Chomot, the conflagration that took place in May.
Wow, it gets a bit tiresome, does it not, Rolene Marks? You would have thought they had better things to do.
I'm just saying, I'm wondering if the Uyghur people in China sitting in concentration camps have received an investigative party. Just saying. I'm just putting it out there, Navi, if you happen to be listening.
Rolene Marks, I'm every bit as angry as you are. It is 5:30. We leave it there. Thank you, as always, for your input this week. And Shabbat Shalom to you and your family. And we'll be back, you and I, on Monday.
And my soapbox, Simon. Don't forget the soapbox.
Soapbox and high heels, Rolene. Wouldn't expect anything less.